It's been two decades, but the ashes of Matthew Shepard are finally being laid to rest. The remains of the openly gay University of Wyoming student will be interred at the Washington National Cathedral later this month, and his parents say they're happy and relieved. For years, they'd searched for a safe place, worried that if he was buried, protesters might desecrate his grave. His final resting place is fitting. He was once an altar boy in the Episcopal Church. Well, it seems like just yesterday, but it was 20 years ago when Matthew Shepard was robbed, beaten, tied to a fence near Laramie, Wyoming, and left to die because he was gay. One of the most enduring legacies has been the wide and diverse collection of artistic responses. Wyoming Public Radio's Cooper McKim has more.
Ordinary Boy is in the prologue of Considering Matthew Shepard, a three-part orchestral and choral work. It was written by Craig Hella Johnson. The concert moves through the life and death of Shepard and the resulting trial of his two killers, alternating in genre and perspective. In the production, Johnson wanted to show that Matthew Shepard was more than a story.
I've got to include Matt in this piece, not just Matthew Shepard, the iconic name.
The concert is touring the country now. It's the latest major contribution to the canon. Shepard's death compelled a lot of artists to respond in unique ways over the past 20 years. Countless paintings, musical interpretations, poems, and theater. It's even been a story arc in popular TV shows like 6 Feet Under and West Wing, like when a representative from the show's president confronts the victim's parents.
Lady, I'm not embarrassed that my son was gay. My government is.
Art has become central to the story of Matthew Shepard's death. Johnson says it allows something deeper than just reading news clips.
We come together. We grieve together. We ask our questions together. So that alone is one, you know, significant aspect of a way that performance and performance art, music, can hold a story and give us deep possibility for processing.
The first major artistic work to do that was the Laramie Project. That's the city where Shepard was killed. Lee Fondakowski is the head writer. She was in Laramie just weeks after the attack, talking with locals and gathering interviews. She says the play is still relevant today. It continues to be wildly popular, especially in high schools. Like Johnson, she sees art as playing a role in the conversation.
The art, I believe, kind of elevates the discourse or elevated the discourse so that we could really look at it from many, many different perspectives and come to a deeper understanding, both of the magnitude of the loss and the meaning of the loss.
Fondakowski doesn't think the Laramie Project was necessarily the reason for all the art following it. She says the tragedy was bound to galvanize artists.
There was something about his heart, his, you know, I can't think of any other way to say it, just his light, his life force. There was something that just moved people to want to investigate further and to want to make art by.
It's been 20 years since Shepard's death, and artists have had the time to investigate unanswered questions. Some wondered where Shepard would be now at age 41. Others explored the religious aspect of his death, seeing it as a crucifixion and him as a martyr. Poet and author of 70 books, Leslia Newman, was coincidentally in Laramie to speak about gay rights the day Shepard was killed. She had her own burning question.
What happened at the fence? Now, Matt, of course, can't tell us because he is no longer with us. So then I had the aha moment. There were witnesses. The fence was there. The moon was there. The stars were there. Animals were there. What could they tell me?
So in 2012, she published her book, October Morning, A Song for Matthew Shepard. It's told through fictitious monologues from perspectives like the stars, the fence he was tied to, and passing animals.
And really just tried to come up with some truth. Not the truth, but my truth.
Jason Marsden is the head of the Matthew Shepard Foundation. He was also a friend of Matthew Shepard. He imagines the stories, artwork, and poetry will help this story live on.
Like all historical events, memory of it will fade if there isn't some compelling and emotionally powerful way to keep the story vivid to people. People in high school now weren't alive when Matt was murdered, so these works are the only way that people will ever have a vivid, emotionally resonant experience of this story.
Marston says the artwork has changed since the event in 1998, with more context, new perspectives, and distance. But that even new works, like Considering Matthew Shepard, are a gift for anyone who continues to fight for equality and acceptance. For Here and Now, I'm Cooper McKim in Laramie.
Out and alone on the endless empty prairie.
And Cooper's story comes to us from the Mountain West News Bureau.